We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the burger, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad hunters, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palacio, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny knows that the kids are going to school tomorrow. They break it in for a whole new school year. So tonight she honors them by smoking a frosty Keith cone in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, the bread to drive eggs, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But all my friends that come around, flat to flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess. Tides of tatter. My brain splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell, and Carver High is running it tonight. Get you caught up on baseball. Rays on the Red Sox, 8-3. We'll talk about the Red Sox in a minute and all their problems. Xander Bogaerts left the game with COVID in the middle of the game. Pirates and White Sox tied at twos in the sixth on the south side of Chicago. Yankees and Angels are underway in Anaheim. Scoreless going to the bottom of the second. Phillies have taken the lead on the Nationals. They were trailing, but are up 9-5 now. Top eight in D.C. Orioles just beat the Blue Jays 4-2. There's a stunner. The Blue Jays were like -330 tonight. The A's blowing out the Tigers 9-3. Rangers lead the Rockies 4-1, top six. Cubs 2-1 on the Twins, top six. Indians 3-0 on the Royals, top seven. Padres, Diamondbacks scoreless, top two. Brewers already out 2-0 on the Giants, top two. And Oracle. The Mets won the day game, scoring 5 in the ninth to win 6-5 over the Marlins. And then they won the second game 3-1 at Citi Field. Getting set to go, Dodgers and Braves from Chavez Ravine. And Astros Mariners in Seattle. So, as far as the Red Sox go, Bogaerts left the game with COVID in the middle of the game. Left the game, just walked off the field, and he's got COVID and he's done. And so, I mean, it's unbelievable how many guys on that team now have COVID. And the thing that was interesting to me was I actually saw Dan Shaughnessy, the great writer up in Boston, slamming the team for saying that they were all like anti-vax. And that they were one of the very few teams in baseball that refused to get vaccinated, right? Like, have you heard this, Carver High? And that they essentially, he even said they got what they had coming to them.
I did not see this. So some of the guys on the team were basically saying we don't need it or whatever the deal was?
Yeah, like the anti-vax Red Sox are now stricken with a bad case of COVID in the organization. And I saw it. I mean, I'm sitting there reading it. I'm like, what is going on here? I didn't know all that. And we welcome our radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, it's Farrell on the bench. So here you go. Way to go, anti-vaxxer Red Sox, one of six teams not on board. Now they have lost Xander Bogaerts, official dumpster fire, great leadership. They totally deserve what is happening to them. Boom. And then another one. This is so embarrassing for Boston. You opened the season celebrating 100 local healthcare workers, but didn't walk the walk. And then the mention of Bogaerts testing positive.
So this is not one of these situations with, you know, the quote-unquote breakthrough cases of guys who are vaccinated getting it.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a couple of
this?
These guys, but...
Well, so Shaughnessy wasn't done there.
Uh-oh.
A couple hours ago, he said, Urban Meyer admits vaccination status was a consideration in player cuts. And Shaughnessy said, good.
Yeah. And the, yeah.
The NFLPA is looking into it. What Meyer did was illegal.
Yeah. Well,
can't cut players based on COVID.
You want to know what Meyer did? He said what every other coach in the league was thinking when they cut all their players today. Okay? That's what Urban Meyer did. Now, probably a mistake from Urban Meyer. I don't know what they can actually do with him, but he said what everybody else is thinking. I made some moves based on guys who were vaccinated and guys who weren't. And if you could put all these other coaches in a room and not print it or not, you know, put it out on social media, they would tell you the same thing that Urban Meyer did today.
So your boy, our buddy Jim McBride, is allegedly the guy that broke the Cam Newton story. No one else, not Schefter, no one else. I mean, they give credit to that guy for everything. But your boy, and he's a good reporter, don't get me wrong, but Jim McBride broke the story. And yes. Shaughnessy said, great job by Jim McBride. So I think your boy, Dan Shaughnessy, clearly
the big guys were giving Jimmy the credit today, too. Either Schefter or Rappaport, one of them said, credit Jim McBride, Boston Globe. So they did throw him the bouquet.
Well, good for them, because I've always loved Jim McBride. For all in the bench. So, the kids go back to school tomorrow, Carver High. We've got Gunner in 11th grade now, a junior, and the Chopper in 8th grade, ready for a phenom breakout season, balling, where I anticipate, without a doubt, her dropping somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 points a night in her games. No one will stop the Chop. And she means business. Like, you have never seen anything like it. Forget school. I mean, this kid can ball. I mean, like, nothing you've ever seen. It's the craziest thing. But they start school tomorrow, both of them, and it's before Labor Day. And then they got all kinds of vacations over the next 3 weeks. Literally, there isn't one full week of school for the next 3 weeks. It's like 2 days, then 3 days, then 2 days that they go because of all the religious holidays. There's a lot of religious holidays around here in New York City.
That's correct. You know,
I've never seen anything like it. Like, so you grew up with that, right? Like all those vacations all the time.
Yeah. I feel like it's, I don't know how it works in terms of when a few of the Jewish holidays fall, but I always remember them being late in the month of September. And now they all seem to fall earlier in the month, at least when I was a kid. I'm not sure how it works, but yeah, this seems really early for all the holidays. And like Olivia doesn't start till, I guess, not Labor Day, the Monday after the 12th, the 13th or something like that. So she doesn't start till then.
You know, when I grew up as a kid in Pittsburgh, I got to tell you, I got to be honest, I don't ever remember having all those Jewish holidays off. I just don't. Maybe I did, and I just don't remember, right? But like, I don't ever remember once ever being off in high school or junior high school for any religious holiday. I really don't. All I remember was you didn't go to school at Christmas, right? Like you were off for that. Right. You were off for Thanksgiving. That was it. I don't know. I'm not even kidding. Like I don't ever remember anything like that. Now, I remember for the most part, I mean, just about everything. Like I grew up, I told you a million times. So when I was a little kid, I lived in Valparaiso, Indiana, Northwest Indiana, right by South Bend. And it's like an hour from South Bend or something like that. But that's just a location in terms of a point of reference, right? South Bend is where Notre Dame is. So it's outside. It's like far outside of Chicago. Valpo. It's, you know, you go right up from Valpo into Gary, into Chicago. That's how you roll. A lot of people would work in Chicago that lived where I lived. And I don't ever remember. I remember grade school. And I just don't remember any of that. Like, now how can I remember grade school? And I remember, like, you know, kids or whatever that I grew up with. And then I remember all that. And then I remember junior high. I remember high school, all that in Pittsburgh. And I remember everything. I don't remember that. I don't remember having off all these religious holidays. I just know that I moved to New York City. And ever since I've lived here, I've had, I mean, more holidays for religious reasons than anything I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it makes no sense to me. It really doesn't. Because no offense to anybody, but like, do they do all that stuff for the Catholics or, and for all these other religions? I'm just being honest. Like, I'm asking you. They don't do that for anything. I've never understood it. Like, I don't understand why it gets preference or like some kind of special religious holiday. I just don't. I don't get it. I really don't. Do you understand that at all? Like, I'm not even being mean or anything or vindictive. I'm just saying I just don't understand it. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they decide what gets chosen and what doesn't. I believe in terms of the Catholic way, I think that they consider Christmas and Easter, obviously, as the and Easter being on a Sunday. They sometimes will give you that Thursday and Friday.
Do they? Because I don't remember that
either. They don't give you off specifically for Catholic. It's you know, Holy Thursday and Good Friday. They don't specifically say that's why you're off. They bill it as, you know, the spring recess. No, but they always build their spring recess around the Easter holidays, even though they're not specifically giving you off for said holiday. That's what usually goes on.
I encourage the Jewish religious holidays because it means I don't have to go to school if I'm a kid.
Right. Yes.
You know, like if everyone gets off because you're having a Jewish holiday, I'm all for it. Because I don't have to go to school.
But this year, it kind of backfires on you because you got a situation like your kids where, I mean, you're going to school before Labor Day, which is around here unheard of. I mean, you're talking about usually you got to at least get the cruise to Labor Day. And then after that is when you got to start going back to the grind.
Right.
I mean, you got the kids rolling in now on the Wednesday before Labor Day. They got 3 days of school. Like, it's like, what's Labor Day weekend anymore? I mean, this is just, I mean, it's over. This is it.
Yeah, it's over. It's over as of today. So I have to listen. It gets worse, this story. So, you know, I got Primo, you know, your boy Primo.
Yeah.
Do you know who Primo is?
I think so.
Primo Donna. I got your boy Primo Donna living upstairs here. The young gun who is a good basketball player in his own right. But Primo Donna gets driven to school every day.
Mm.
Like, I have to drive him to school every day. I'm not getting
got a day. You don't got a bus over there or what? I mean,
the bus rolls at 7 a.m.
Oh, well,
school,
you know,
starts at 8.
Boys got to get up.
It's a 10-minute drive in a car to the school. So he's like, you know. Primo says, I'm not getting up at 6:30 to get on a bus at 7. You're going to drive me on the way to the gym. Hard ass.
All right.
So I drive him and then I go to the gym, which is right near the school. So it's like probably 2 miles from the school. And I drive him every day. Primo, I just want you to know that I never, where I grew up, and I used to walk 3 miles with no shoes in the snow. I literally had to walk to school. There were no buses in Pittsburgh where I lived. And all the kids walked to school or their rich parents drove them, which was really the primary mode of transportation. Now, I will just admit now at this ripe age that I used to drive with my friends that lived across the street from me who all ended up in federal prison for murder. We drove together in like their cars and we would smoke pot the entire way to school. So when I got to school at 8 a.m. for like homeroom in high school, I was completely baked. I mean, I reeked of weed. when I walked into the school. It was a complete mess. And that was every day.
My
parents were like, you walk. You're going to walk is what you're going to do. Hard ass. And I'm like, all right, no problem. I walked across the street, got in my buddy's car.
But that used to be, that used to make it so much more of a big deal when somebody got a car. Like when one of your friends got a car, it was like, it was on. You know, it's like in Fast Times when Judge Reinhold gets the car and everybody, you know, everybody just waits to get their hands on those keys. It meant so much more back in the day. Now it's like, they basically pick you up in front of your house. I mean, it's just, there's no more of that.
There's no more of that. The kids can drive to school. I think they're senior year. I don't know. Is it junior and senior year? I don't know. It's Pharrell and Avenged. All right, Pharrell and Avenged. Rick Caro's with us, the sports business and legal insider on Sports Grid, Coast to Coast, and Pharrell on the Bench, and many other shows on the network. Rick, I got to ask you, I want to get into the sports betting stories that you ran this week and go down the litany of them in order of succession in terms of they each have their own intrigue to me. We'll start with Barstool. They opened their live betting app in New Jersey last week. And how do you think that's going to go, that they're taking on the big boys? Now, I know that they're in cahoots with Penn Gaming, and then I know the Score and Scorebet will be involved in that as well because they're part of that company now after they were purchased by Penn Gaming. How well do you think those two apps will do in all the states that they end up playing in?
Never count them out. You know, this is a company that's going to retail. They're doing some stuff as far as restaurants. They taking on the big boys, that's fine. But there's room to go around, really. You know, we just had a study that said that there's a $4 billion revenue this year from gaming. In the United States alone, you know, who'd have thought it in May 18 before the Supreme Court decision? So it's not a demand for total control, but they'll get their market share.
So I just want to give people an update. Rizzo just hit a home run. They're looking at it. The Angels don't believe it's a home run. It hit the top of the wall. I thought it was a home run. Then again, I'm a Yankee fan. But I thought it went above the yellow tape. Did you see it, Carver High? I got to see this here. That's.
I'm waiting for the. I'm watching it right now.
That's on top of the yellow.
I think. And where does it bounce back on the field?
Watch, it bounced back on the field. Mm-hmm. But there's a signage there. I mean,
that's close.
That's on top of the wall. Is that over the wall? I think it's on top of the wall. My guess is it's not.
I think that's not a homer, but that's just
I think it's. But they told him it's a home run, but they're going to review it. I'll bet they pull it back. All right, Rick, let me ask you about Tennessee. You say that they've hit a low point in July as we head into September, but they go back a month and look at the numbers, right? So what happened in Tennessee? It fell off dramatically?
Well, dramatically, yeah. You know, it's about 17% down from $174 million in June. So they're still okay at $144 million. But it is the fifth major state that lost revenue relative to the year month before. But yet, you know, that in Tennessee is not that big a month for gambling. I will bet you that September, October, November, especially with the Tennessee Volunteers and the Titans starting to play again, they'll be okay.
So they just gave him a home run, Rizzo, and you got to look at that, Carver High, and tell me that's not, I mean, that hit the yellow, that hit the yellow on top of that wall. That did not go over that wall. That's just another replay mistake.
I don't know why that's a homer. I don't know why that's a homer.
I really don't. It is so amazing. Last week I was doing this on the air, Rick, where we talked about replay, and I think I talked about it even with you. It's simple.
Well,
it's
we were doing it. I didn't see it. I didn't see this. But we were doing it exactly a week ago. You were railing then.
And I was saying they can't even get the replay right in New York. Why even have it? I mean, when I see, like, I remember last week it was a play at the plate, and then there was a play at second base, two in a row, and both of them were called wrong, and then both replay, verdicts were wrong as well. I mean, there wasn't a person in the entire building that didn't think they were both safe or out or whatever it was. I don't remember, but I remember, I just remember we were screaming and yelling about how the calls were wrong, and then the replay was wrong as well. I think they just got that replay wrong. All right, so let's talk about ESPN trying to sign a $3 billion sports betting partnership, and they're basically what, talking to everybody?
Yeah, here's the deal, which I find very intriguing. You know, usually when you create a bidding process, you have the asset, you lay out what you think the number ought to be, you send it to everybody, and they all bid on rights like the NFL and NBA and everything else. But the media are the biddies, let's say. In this case, ESPN lays out a number, says we're going to take all our content, all our eyeballs, all our shows, all our platforms, and we're going to offer it to one gaming company, whether it's FanDuel or Caesars or Penn Gaming or DraftKings or anybody. Here's the price, bid on it. Now, it hadn't been successful yet because we don't have one bidder. We don't know when the contest is closed, so to speak. But it is a very interesting idea that rather than being kind of for all people, they're going to try to do it just with one exclusive company. And as I just said, it's a $4 billion industry. You got legalized gaming in 32 states right now. So it's a lot different than it was a year ago.
Well, you know, it's funny. Today I was on the air, and we talked about how the NFL basically has partnered with every major sports book and literally all of them. I mean, you name it. BetMGM, Wynn, all of them. And then they left off FanDuel and DraftKings. Meanwhile, both of them are partners with the NFL as well. Who aren't the NFL in bed with when it comes to gambling now? It sounds to me like, because I heard a number like that they're going to make $270 million this year alone off of betting sponsorships.
I think that's conservative, to be honest about it. I heard that number too, and I really think that before the end of the season, it's going to be a higher number than that. And again, if you define enough assets, enough property, and it's the NFL, so you can do whatever you want, but they're going to have as many partners, as you said, as they want. Years ago, when I was doing the NFL stuff, you know, if you touched gambling, if you wanted to do stadium stuff, and you go to Indian gaming or Indian land, and you looked at Indian sponsorship or casino sponsorship, you couldn't touch it. NFL wouldn't go near it. They said, you know, good luck. Get your stadiums funded, but you can't use that. Now, if you don't, you're leaving money on the table.
Well, in terms of Florida, where they certainly have the Miccosukee and the Seminole tribes that control gambling, now they're inching closer to legal sports betting statewide. And that means they'll have more licenses for people that aren't on the res running the casinos, right?
Correct. And I remember 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when we were trying to get all of our deals done in the Miami Heat, and the big sports betting pushes always were at the end of the legislative session, April, May. This year's it, next year's it, look at everybody doing it, and nobody got it done. DeSantis cut a deal in April, fully operational by October or November. From the Seminole side, there are a lot of other companies and a lot of other racetracks and other organizations that are eligible to be part of this stuff by the fall as well.
So how about the deal with the Fiesta Bowl and Caesars? That's an enormous entity in itself. They're going to have fan lounges within the stadiums for the Fiesta Bowl and the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. the titles, I guess, partner of the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, parties and joins in the annual Arizona Bank and Trust Fiesta Bowl kickoff luncheon as a presenting partner. What aren't they in bed with when it comes to gambling?
No, but nothing. But the good thing about that, as I told you, is that this is a trend where we're going to see, I'm pretty sure, all of the major bowls connect with an individual gaming partner. And then you have the gaming partners who have facilities in the stadiums who will say, look, that's our deal. They're going to define what is theirs. Is it the team? Is it the stadium? Is it the bowl game itself? And we're going to play that game out until all of the bowls are covered.
So, speaking of bowls, to me, the Miami-Alabama game at Mercedes in Atlanta on Saturday is a bowl game. That kickoff game, whatever you want to call it, is enormous. Certainly for Miami it is, that they're kicking off their season against the defending national champion Alabama Tide in Atlanta. Are you willing to bet on the Canes with the 18.5 points or whatever it is to up to 20 points now to cover 20 against Alabama?
Yeah, I would do 20 because of Derek King. And by the way, it's the NIL Bowl. You know, it's Young and King, who probably have the two biggest NIL deals of any college athletes in the country. I think, and you and I are both on the same phase of this as far as fandom is concerned, Miami's got to stay close. If they stay close, they end up, what, maybe 14th, 15th, 16th in the country at the end of this week, and then they keep moving up. If they get blown out, they start the season in a hole that they may not be able to recover from. Remember 2 years ago they lost that close Florida game, and you know, you look back and you wish it had been different, but I'm excited about Saturday.
All right, we'll come back with Rick Harrow on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to Rick Harrow, our sports business and legal insider from Harvard, on the bench and on Sports Grid. So I got to get your opinion on this, in my view, ridiculous statement from the PGA about these people yelling Brooksy at DeChambeau and that they're going to be banned from golf tournaments, or just, I guess, the playoff, or I don't know what the whole deal is with it, but what? They're going to throw them off the golf course?
Yeah, like if you scream it while you're at the event, you can be removed from the event.
I mean, I got to tell you, Rick, that's the most ridiculous thing. What is next? They're going to, so first of all, I talked to you today about quiet rooms in tennis. That's strike one. Strike two, you're not allowed to yell Brooksy at golf tournaments. Strike three will be fans aren't allowed to clap anymore at sporting events. I mean, you have got to be kidding me that this candy ass is so sensitive. This tough guy with his 400-yard drives is so sensitive because you know he went and cried to the PGA that he's had enough of people yelling Brooksy. He's had enough of it. But you know what? He brought it on himself. He brought it on himself with his constant drive-by photo bombing of Koepka. And he said, you know, said, I'm in his head living rent-free. He asked for this the same way Javi Baez asked for Mets fans to give him hell for giving him the thumbs down. I cannot believe the PGA Tour is bending over for DeChambeau, and they're going to kick fans out that yell Brooksy for golf tournaments. If I were a golf fan, I would never go to another golf tournament as long as I lived, if they made that rule.
Yeah, except it's too much fun to watch. So I guess I could agree with you as a matter of principle, but there are a couple of separate points here. One is, he did bring it on himself. He's gone from somebody that half the people like and half the people don't to 10% like and 90% don't. So I agree with that piece. But I also agree that the PGA Tour, kind of like what Carver just distinguished, you're not you're not going to have a card-carrying monitor that said you said something bad, so you're never going to get into a tournament again. But you know, the ejection. Can you imagine if that happened at Bethpage during the U.S. Open when they were giving it to Sergio? And the way to deal with it, I think, is the way Mickelson deals with it, which, you know, he received some of that grief early in his career, but he embraced it. He turned around. He, you know, clapped to the fans. He acknowledged the fans, and they turned positive on him. That doesn't mean that it has to happen all the time, but I tend to agree with you. It's getting a little soft. It's getting a little sensitive. But this is not wrestling. This is golf. So you got to have a little bit of decorum, but I think they're going too far. I agree.
Oh, but it's okay to have the Waste Management open in Phoenix where everybody gets drunk and hammered and yells obscenities and screams on the 16th hole for 4 days. That's okay, but nowhere else yeah. are you allowed to. But then they provide on these golf tournaments, on these courses, all day, every day, they provide tents filled with booze. And they serve up more booze there than they do at a college tailgate party. There is more booze at a golf tournament than any sporting event on earth, except maybe NASCAR infields. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and I do think. Well, here's the other thing too. It was, you know, 98 degrees in Baltimore. It was stifling. It's a long day, and no excuses. Just I'm agreeing with you. The course is 7,400 yards. It was massive, even though they brought it to their knees. Everybody's drinking, a lot of area, a lot of fans. Fans are back for the first time. So it was a recipe for exactly what happened.
So what do you think is going to happen starting? I mean, we've already started college football with that anemic first weekend last weekend.
You mean week zero? Week zero.
Week zero. It was a week zero. It was a weak slate of games. So now week one is going to start tomorrow night and then Thursday, full bore, Saturday, insanity. So what do you think is going to happen with regards to tailgating and COVID?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I'm not Dr. Fauci, but you know, just because you're outside, it doesn't mean that that you're not susceptible these days. We're in the unknown because we don't know how the variant's going to transmit in just worldwide social settings where, you know, 6 months ago it would have been unheard of to do what we're now going to tolerate and allow. There will be a lot of stadiums that are going to require masks in New Orleans when the Saints eventually do get back, whenever that is, and there are a few other stadiums that are doing it, like Allegiant in Vegas. Others will, but your issue is a different one. You know, the tailgating outside, you're not going to be able to regulate mask wearing. You could if it's a public mask order anywhere in that county, but that's not the way it is, so we'll have to see.
So key global advertising markets have recovered from COVID. Is that true? Like, so everything's back to normal now, and all the losses have been, you know, taken care of, and everything's back to making money? I don't believe
not
that.
Not back to normal, but it's rebounding. A 52% increase in the value of the second quarter bookings exceeded the same period by that much. Quarter one was up that 52%, and so the bottom line is it's going to take a while. For example, ESPN has $800 million on the line in college football advertising inventory as the season gets underway. And so the rebound is happening. The answer is no, it's not all the way back, but it is coming back.
StubHub partners with Lowly to offer Bitcoin rewards on ticket purchases. It's just more and more that we're seeing the crypto and the Bitcoin coming into the sports scene.
Oakland A's, San Jose Sharks, Dallas Mavericks, they're formally accepting Bitcoin as a payment method, and more of these companies are getting more Series A investment funding. Then you have FTX, which is a large cryptocurrency company. You know, they are sponsoring the Golden Bears Stadium at UCal for $17.5 million over 10 years, not to mention the deal they're doing in Miami. It's a $135 million 19-year deal. They remember it used to be the American Airlines Arena, and now it's the FTX Arena.
So what is this? Tyreek Hill, C.J. McCollum, Mikey Williams all team up with Lace Clips. What is Lace Clips?
Yeah, multi-year deals to deal with a company that monitors distances, travel, jump height, steps, RPM, pivots, like what Whoop is doing with the PGA Tour. You stick it on and it monitors your performance, and it's real-time data, which is really important.
So Walsh just hit a three-run homer for the Angels. The nightmare continues for the Yankees in Anaheim. They lost the last two in Oakland at the Astros. Lost the first game last night, 8-7 to the Angels. Now they're down 3-1 to the Angels. I think Walsh just hit a three-run homer. That's exactly what happened. Form swim goggles have added augmented reality workouts. What the hell is that?
Yeah, it's an interesting piece that I just wanted to stick in there just to tell you that we're doing all of this stuff. So you put your glasses on if you're a swimmer. You pay $180 annual fee, and you get real-time performance tracking metrics while you're swimming. It's founded back in 2016 with the entrepreneur Dave Eisenhart, who was a professional swimmer, and it's a new way to train. So if I'm swimming, I just want to survive when I get to the other end. I don't know what my tracking score is.
So believe it or not, Pharrell swims every day, Monday through Friday. I swim on a 50-meter pool, and I hate it. I do it every day after I lift, and I shoot baskets for an hour, and then I lift, and then I swim. And the swimming at the end after you've lifted weights is brutal. Once you get going after like four or five laps, it's easier. The first couple laps are brutal.
Yeah, but look how fit you are, man. Everybody's excited about your, you know, physical condition. It's like you're marvelous. You're, you know, at your age. What?
Yeah, well, what listen, you know what 34C said to me tonight? She said,
what?
She said, quote, something to, along the lines of, you need to get out more. All you do is work out and play basketball and do those stupid shows of yours, end quote.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
I mean, I go, oh, you mean like, so I don't, I'm out the door at 7 every day. I'm in the gym grinding, soaking wet, running lines, shooting millions of shots, lifting weights, swimming. And then I come home and I go to work and do two shows that pay the bills and all I know. And then I took the kids to the Philadelphia Philly game over the weekend. But I never leave the house. I don't do anything. I'm worthless. And I need to, you know, get out more. You know what I need to do? I need to get out and maybe pick up a lover. How's that sound? You know, maybe I could have like a little side piece down the street or something. Maybe I could, because if she wants me out of the house more, I could go on runs maybe and see it. What do you think, Carver High? Pick up a girly friend?
Little side action.
He's quiet. He didn't want to get in the middle of this.
He didn't want to touch this one, man. In the middle of everything. He wants to get in the middle of everything. But listen,
I don't want to hear it.
I work out every day, and I'm like, you know, it's one thing to say you do nothing when you don't do anything. But I work out every day and play basketball. Till no end do I play basketball, and constantly. And then I'm playing in a league as well coming up in October. All I do is go play ball and work out and leave and do things. She says I'm here too much. She says you do the show too much at home. I'm like, what do you want me to do? You want me to drive 4 hours a day in bumper to bumper traffic so I could sit in rush hour doing my TV and radio shows? That's what you want? Maybe she wants to get rid of me, Carver High, to have a lover. Stop.
This is the exact opposite of a week ago, because when you were getting static about going to Philadelphia for the Philly game, she said to you, all you do is play basketball. All you do is play basketball. You don't do anything else. So now all you do is do the show.
I'm a horrible father. Horrible father. Listen, you've been blamed for everything, Harold. Don't even tell me you haven't. Your wife blames you for everything.
Sounds like a lover's quarrel to me. All right, that's all I want to do. I don't want to get in the middle of this one. This one will end well. This one will end well. Mark my words.
Here's one. Michelob Ultra committed $100 million to women's sports for Women's Equality Day. Do they give out the money in the quiet rooms at the U.S. Open?
Yeah. You got to stay away from the interviews. That's it. The quiet rooms at the U.S. Open. I know you don't like that. We're going to have to test that one over the next few days and week.
Yeah, listen, I got to tell you, I have nothing nice to say about that at all. Nothing at all. All right, Rick, great stuff this week. I will catch up with you next week, and I'm trying to figure out when I can come down there in October to golf and live at your mansion.
That's a deal. Maybe we tee it up mid-next week. I'll call you.
All right. See you later. Rick Haro, ladies and gentlemen, our sports business and legal insider. Here's Marsh, who's hitting 400 over his last 20 games for the Angels, about to build on the Angels' 3-1 lead over the Yankees. We'll get caught up on all the West Coast late-night scores on the bench. Astros, Mariners scoreless. Brewers kicking the Giants' ass 6-0. I bet on the Brewers tonight. Padres, Diamondbacks scoreless. Indians kicking the Royals ass 7-0. Cubs 2-1 on the Twins. Rangers 4-3 on the Rockies, top 8. Braves lead after 3, 1-0 at Chavez Ravine against the Dodgers. Angels 3-1 on the Yankees. That one's in the fifth inning already. They're flying in this game. Actually not. They started at 9:40. So do you think I'm wrong about this golf problem?
No,
with DeChambeau.
No.
Why is this guy?
I got a major problem with this.
Well, everyone hates him. Everyone hates him dead. And why does he get special treatment? Why is the entire PGA stopping for this guy? He's a clown.
I think that the guy who got the story the other day about how he was going to go after the fan in the tunnel after the playoff, and then he stopped short, and the whole I guess for that getting out there, the PGA now says, We got a bit of a problem on our hands. We're going to put an end to this. Bryson clearly is complaining behind closed doors as well. And you know what happens now, Scotty. And this is going to be very hard for them to police, because when you're at a huge event where there's thousands of people out on a golf course, somebody can yell that from anywhere. And unless everybody in the crowd is going to dime them out, it's going to be very hard for them to police that.
Unless now, someone's going to finger, are we going to have the finger, they're going to finger the guy out and point at him?
And you know what else is going to happen now? Now that everybody knows that it bothers him so much, what do you think is going to start happening?
We're going to do it more.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get a couple knuckleheads who get really drunk by the 16th, 17th hole. They know they're going home anyway, and they're going to start lighting him up. And that's what's going to happen.
I hope they drive him nuts and he ends up in a rubber room. And he ends up going to sleep in a quiet room at the U.S. Open tennis. It's for all on a bench.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.